y'all be patient with me tonight. I think my wife has got me sick. I tried telling her earlier that I was allergic to all three of them, but I forgot my Bible trivia tonight, so y'all have to forgive me, but I do remember a joke. Remember, this is a joke and not biblical truth. Name the three cars that are mentioned in the Bible. Is that better? Okay. So the three cars that are mentioned in the Bible. Can you name the three cars? No. You know what kind of car he wants for Christmas, right? Well, Adam and Eve were ran out of the garden in a fury. Joshua triumphed over Jericho. And the last one was a Honda because all the disciples were in one accord. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Psalms 119. Our topic verse is going to be 131, but we're also going to use Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. And when you get there, go ahead and stand. The Word of God says in Psalms 119, 131, I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. I flip over to Philippians. Chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Father, Lord, we thank you. Lord, for the opportunity just to be in your house and open your precious word. Father, Lord, we pray that you'll be with us today, Lord. Just calm down and dwell with us, Lord, and just guide each of our hearts. Lord, we pray that you'll push the old wicked world out, Lord, just for a time and allow us to hear from you. And Lord, I pray that that's our heart's desire. Lord, we pray that you would work in each of our lives in a mighty way tonight, Lord. Lord, we do lift up our pastor to you. And his wife, Lord, give him journey and mercies and bring him on home safely. Father, Lord, we pray for the FBI and the children in the back, Lord. Just pray, Father, you anoint their message tonight. Lord, there be a lost one. How we pray for that lost one's salvation. Lord, I do pray for strength tonight, Lord. Just hide me behind the cross. Help me only to say what you'd have me to say. And Lord, if there be anything that I should not, bide my tongue. Lord, may everything that's said and done bring honor and glory to thy Son, Jesus Christ. In his name's sake we pray. Amen. How many of you have worked outside all day in the hot sun and with the dry air stealing the saliva right out of your mouth? Maybe you just finished a foot race or a game of some type where it causes you to exert a lot of energy. Now that it's all over, you have a great desire for something cold. Maybe some homemade lemonade, some Gatorade or a soda. And when you first start to see that glass full of whatever you're craving, your mouth starts to water. Y'all ever had that happen to you? I know after hauling hay for a couple of hours, you know, Gatorade tastes real good in the old Kentucky sun. How about this? I know that all of y'all seen a dog on a hot day lay on the porch and just sit there and pant with his tongue hanging out, trying to catch some cool air. You know, this day and time when we really want something, we get on the internet and search for hours and do all kind of research. You know, we really go after it, like especially like a new car or vehicle. You know, we spend days looking for one until we finally figure out what we want, and then we go after it. In the first verse of our text, Psalm 119 and 31, it says, I opened my mouth and I panted, for I longed for thy commandments. The definition of open is to be moved or adjusted to allow access or to make space. For panted, it says short, quick breaths or gasp for air. But it also goes on to say to crave, to ache, to wish, to hunger for, or to even to be dying for. And of course, long is to set one's heart on, a true desire. We're going to look at the three different words in this verse tonight. Pant, open, and long. First, on the word open. In order to get more room, you have to rearrange things that are already there. I imagine most of our garages probably look somewhat like ours does right now. You barely get anything in it. But every time you want to put something in it, you take a box here and you stack it up over here to make a little walkway. That sounds familiar. Everybody's laughing. So we know where we're at. But in order to really make room, you take everything out of the garage. And then it opens up a vast space and allows you to put a lot of things in there. If God could look into the souls, or we could look into our own souls and hearts and minds, it'd probably look like a hoarder's house full of the world with about this much space for God to work with. And this should not be. We should not have so much junk in our life that there's no longer space or time for God. Paul says in Philippians 3:8, but these things were gained to me, those that I counted loss for Christ. Paul, when he was Saul, was a great Pharisee. He had power. He was well known. He was at the top of the Jewish food chain. At that time in his life, he wanted for nothing. He was feared, but he had no room for God. On the road to Damascus, when Christ revealed himself to Paul, and he got saved, Paul just didn't shuffle some things around in his life. He got rid of the world and allowed Christ to come in and take control of him. He opened up his heart and his mind to Christ and allowed him to take it all. Paul says, what I have personally gained is a loss to the cause of Christ. The things that I've gained for my own or on my own is self and is useless. The things that I've gained for Christ or Christ has given me is all. All our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we do all fade as a leaf. Isaiah 64:6. You may puff out your chest and boast of who you are, what you have or what you have done, or maybe even what you have attained, but it's nothing but a filthy rag to God. Paul says it is counted as dung. It is time we that are saved open up to God and His desires for our lives. We need to clean out our hearts, minds, and lives and give them over to God Himself. We cry that we want a revival in our lives, but we ball up like babies and sob when we have to push the world out. We don't want to give up our worldly desires. We don't want to give up the things that we love, that we have purchased or gained by our own ways. Oh, but we scream we want revival. But yet our actions show otherwise. You know, if we would fight for the things of God like we fight for our earthly possessions, how much greater would our lives be for Him? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God never commanded us to seek the things of the world for our own personal gain. No, He stands there and says, seek me first, and I will give you the rest. But He can't even begin to bless us because we won't make room for Him to do so. In Christ's earthly beginning, there was no room for Him in the end. Throughout His life, there was no room for which to lay His head. There was no room for Him in this world, so we crucified Him. There was no room in which to bury him, so he was laid in a borrowed tomb. Since he came to earth, we have made no room for him. You know, we made a small amount of room for those of us that are saved, those of us that cried out in repentance that day that you were brought to your knees. Lord, come into my life. Save me. Lord, I'm yours. And all of a sudden, that room started shrinking. It started getting smaller and smaller. The world has never made room for our Savior. And the day in our lives, it still holds true for many of us. And the longer that we walk in this old wicked world, the smaller and smaller that room gets for Him. And the more of the world you put in your life, the less room that He has to work with. The more darkness you bring in, the less light you let shine out. I gave an illustration in the Sunday school class. If your life was a mason jar, and the water that is in it was you, and you shine a light through it when you first got saved, what comes out the other side? A beautiful bright light. The more you walk in the world, it's like dropping little dirt balls in that water, and it starts to cloud up. And the less light that comes in. Because you put more world in your life, there's less light that comes out the other side. And pretty soon, enough of that world gets in, ain't nothing coming out the other side. It's all murky. Clouded up. But that's what the world has done since Christ has come. We have made no room for Him. Oh, but let me tell you something. One day He's coming back and He'll take all the room that He wants. What a glorious day that shall be for those that are saved. So why not open it up now? Why not begin today to make room for Christ in your lives, in your hearts, and in your minds? You know, He don't just want a little bit. He wants it all. You know what? He deserves it all because He laid all His life on Calvary. He gave it up all for us. We won't even give Him a dime-sized portion of our heart. Open up your life to God. You want a closer walk with Him? Give Him room. You want to know and understand more about Him and His Word? Open up to Him. Give Him room. You want to be blessed and receive the things from above? Give Him room. Are you scared of what God might do with you? Or through you or for you? Count everything that is not Christ for lost and make room for His gains and be blessed beyond measure. The storehouse in the book of Malachi, where God says, do you want, or what you're supposed to do? Do what I told you to do. And if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that you won't be able to contain it all by simply giving Him room. He will fill it so much that it overflows. We hinder our own lives by putting so much of our own junk in it that God can't seem to bless us like He wants us to. He has so much to offer, so much to give, but with this much space, He can't do it. Just open up to Him, make your body the living temple as it should be, and give God all of you. Watch Him work. Watch Him bless. Second, pant. This may be a hard pill to swallow. To pant after God's commandments. You know, we desire God's hand of protection. We pray for His mercy to be upon us. We crave His blessings, His gifts. Most say, you know, I wish for His return. I glory in the day that the trumpets are sound. But how about His laws? About His commandments, His statutes, His precepts, His Word. The psalmist said in the text, I opened my mouth and panted, for I long for Thy commandments. Does your heart desire the same thing today? Can you say, Lord, I desire Your laws to be wrote upon my heart God, I'm dying for your precepts, your truths, your statutes. This is to say, Lord, take control of my very being, for I'm yours. Father, I open my mouth, which is to make room, and I want you to fill me with everything that you have for me. Teach me, Lord, to obey. Oh, show me my wrongs. God, I want you to highlight my faults. Lord, allow your laws to show me my failures, my imperfections. The psalmist says, I panted for thy commandments. He had an understanding. In order to draw closer to God, he had to be right with him. He had to know the wrongs. He had to know where he wasn't right. Are you seeking his commandments with a true heart's desire? You understand, in order to be blessed, you had to be right. Lord, I need you to fill me with thy commandments so that I know how to obey you. Lord, I love you and I want to be close with you. Please show me thy laws. As a young child, you know, your dad and your mom taught you how to act. They just did this by teaching you the do's and the don'ts. You learn how to act by the rules that they set for you. The first time you did something wrong, you know, your mom or dad shared with you the right or correct way. Look at most households today. How children run around rampant. How they cuss. How they tell their parents no. How they scream, they shout, they steal. They disobey their teachers at school. They don't listen. Why? Because their parents have not taught them the laws. Their parents have not taught them the commandments to which to obey. And there's never been a repercussion in their life. So what does that freedom do? It causes chaos. It causes misbehavior and bad conduct. Well, the same thing applies to us as Christians. If we don't know the laws and the commandments of God, how do we obey them? How do we know that we're doing right or wrong? Do you have a desire to know all that God commands of you? I opened my mouth and I panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Lord, I want to know how to obey you, for I love you. Without the commandments of God, how do you think God's people would be living today? Would it be like the children that we see in Walmart? The ones that we see on TV or in schools or on the school buses? To be quite honest, for the most part, they would live just like they are right now. Lawless. Why? Because instead of panting or desiring for the things of God, we pant after the things of the world. When we should be obeying, we're breaking. We look at the parents with the disobedient children. I've heard this. I've even said this myself. Man, I'd like to whoop that mom or dad. Y'all laugh because y'all know the same thing. What do you think about God when he's looking down like this and seeing his children do the same thing? Disobeying what he has given us. Disobeying his commandments, his laws. He sees a bunch of people that say that they love him in one breath and their lives deny him in another. Lord, I love you, but I don't want to obey your laws. Lord, I love you, but I don't want them in my life. They're too grievous. They're too hard. They're no fun. Lord, I want your blessings, but not your statutes. Hey, Lord, you can give me what I want, but I don't want to obey you. That's no fun. Oh, if you love me, you will desire all the things that comes with me. The psalmist had such a love for God that he desired to know all the commandments. Lord, help me to know so that I can obey. Fill me with the law. He had such a desire for the Word of God that he opened up and he cried unto God. I tried to imagine this. if every one of God's children would clean out their lives and truly desire God to fill them with His commandments, how many more brands could we pluck from the fire? How many more souls would be saved on a daily basis? How many more church doors would be opened and the Word of God and the songs of God would be proclaimed if we would only desire the right things? How many more lights there would be in the world and how much brighter those lights would be? You know, I come across this verse in my daily reading. I made it a couple of verses past it. Then I had to stop and go back and read it again. And at first glance, of course, it reminded me of Psalms 42:1, which says, "As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God." And then, of course, the song that Brother Bill loved to sing, you know, "The deer panteth after the water, so my soul longeth for Thee." This verse says that my soul longs for God, which is easy to agree with and to understand. Then I went back and read verse 131 again. And I sat there and I meditated upon it. Yes, we would say that we long for God, that we love Him. Oh, but what the psalmist said is, "Lord, I desire Your commandments for me." And to be honest, I had to pray for forgiveness. You see, I could easily say that, you know, my soul longeth after God. I could easily say I desire the blessings of God, the protection of God, the love of God. But when I examined my heart, I found it hard to say that I desired the commandments of God. What a love the psalmist had. Say, "Lord, I love You. I want to obey You." So right in here, everything that I should not and should do. What a true desire the love of the psalmist must have had to say, "I opened my mouth and I panted, for I longed for Thy commandments." Can you honestly proclaim that in your life today? The Apostle Paul did in a way when he said in verse 8 of Philippians chapter 3, "For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." He gave up everything for the knowledge of Christ. And everything he gave up, he said it was dung compared to Christ. It was nothing. It was trash. It was garbage. Everything that I thought I had wasn't worth the dust on the ground compared to Christ. There is nothing in my life more important, more valuable, or more needful than Christ Jesus. He says, "I will give up everything and every day so that He may win Christ." You know, Paul wasn't saying that he was saved on a daily basis. Because, you know, he was saved that day in Damascus, on the way to Damascus. What he was saying was, every day I give up everything that I have had, and every day my goal, my mission, my journey is to win Christ again in my life. That is to set out to serve Him with everything that was in Paul. So that I count everything but loss, that I may win Christ. Every morning when you get up to leave the house, is your goal to win Christ? Is your thought in your forefront of the mind, "I am going out today to serve Christ, that I may win Him over and over and over"? You see, Paul never forgot that day on the road to Damascus. He remembered his salvation. He remembered everything that Christ Jesus gave him and did for him. So every day, with a purpose, he went out to win Him again and again. See, Paul made a great big old hole in his life for Christ to fill it. And every day, he did the same thing. He didn't allow the world to come in. He didn't allow the things outside to affect him. "Oh, but you say he's an apostle. He don't have the same trials and tribulations that I do." I beg to differ. Paul was a man. The Bible says that Jesus was tempted because He was a man. But Paul was tempted too. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul having great prestige and honor and glory and power? most of the epistles you'll find where? The prison, shackled, chained up, in bondage. You don't think the old devil was whispering in his ear? Hey, deny Christ. You can have it all again. Hey, go back to the life that you had. You ain't got to be like this. Remember the good old days. Paul says it was dumb. Every day he sacrificed himself for Christ. Every day he laid it down again to win Christ. Every day he made a great big hole in his life so Christ could once again in that morning fill it with himself. Paul was just a man, just like you and I. But he purposed in his heart to open it up every day for Christ. Do you desire such a relationship with God that you can only honestly say, God, I pant for thy commandments in my life? Number three, long. The definition of long is to set one's heart on. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God set his heart for you. He sent his Son to die for you. God longed for each and every one of us. He longed for fellowship and companionship. It's why he made Adam that day. He had a desire to have fellowship with us. He set his heart upon you. The day in the garden where Adam and Eve sinned, he made a way for us. He set his heart upon us. God longed for us from the beginning of time, and he made a way for us. Jesus Christ set his heart on us in that he left the splendor of heaven. He came to this sinful, nasty place that we call earth because he longed for us. He willingly and knowingly took all the pain that was in Calvary because his heart was set upon us. There was nothing that he was not willing to do for you or I because his heart was for us. He gave up the beating heart in his own chest so that our hearts could beat for eternity. Before you were born, his heart was set on you. What is your heart set upon today? Is it set upon the things of the world? Our voices cry, no! Our lives cry yes. Our daily walk shows the truth of what we truly desire, what our hearts are set upon. For what your heart is set upon is exactly what you go after, what you desire, what you have in your houses, your cars, what you put in your body. You desire food, you desire a certain type of food, you go get it. Do you desire Christ? Alcoholics set their hearts on booze. They get drunk. Drug addicts on drugs. They get high. Some set their hearts on money, so they go after more. Some on education. Some on fame. All hearts were set on Christ. So he gave up all and said it was nothing. You want to be on fire for God? Set your heart on Him. You want to win Christ daily in your life? Set your heart on Him. We try to do our best for our spouses and our kids, our family members, because we love them. We set our heart upon them. So why are we not succeeding for the cause of Christ and the gain of heaven? Because we haven't set our hearts upon Him. We don't long for Him as He does for us. Can you imagine if the shoe was on the other foot? Can you imagine what would happen in the garden that night when he was praying if Christ loved us like we love him? You think he would have went to Calvary? No. You think he would have done the things that he did for us if he loved us like we love him? Not at all. What is your heart upon? knowledge of the things of God for the glory of heaven, or for your personal well-being. Christ, set his heart on us. So he gave us his. We say we love him, but we don't desire him. We say we love him, but our lives don't proclaim him. It's time that we count everything in our lives but loss and win Christ daily in our lives. We need to set out each morning with Christ in the forefront of our minds. It's time we turn our backs on the things of the world and set our eyes upon the things of heaven. We want a revival. We say we want a revival. We pray that we want a revival. And we need to get the world out of our lives and open up to the things of God. You want a revival? Then pan after the things of God. When your heart's desires become what God desires for you, we're headed down the right track for revival. You want to see souls saved? Set your hearts upon them like Christ did for us. We're not winning the spiritual battle every day because our heart's desires and our lives are not panting after the things of Christ or for Christ himself. You know, God has given us word, his word. You know, we can pray and we pray. We pray for the armor of God to be put upon us. But it doesn't work unless it's all there. It doesn't work unless you truly want it. It doesn't work unless your heart says, Lord, this is truly what I'm praying for. So often it's just words out of our mouths. Yes, Lord, I want a revival. It's a great thing. Easy to say. But are you panting after it? Are you truly desiring a revival in your hearts? Are you desiring the things of God? Do you want His commandments to be in the forefront of your thoughts? The psalmist says, I opened up. I pushed everything out that I had in me to make room for the things I desire. And the things I desire was God's commandments. How about your life today? Can you say, Lord, I'm going to put all this garbage that I put in there over years and years, I'm going to flush it out, Lord. I am going to make room, Father, for you to come in and truly make this your vessel, your house. Lord, I desire you. Take control. I'm yours. You want to be blessed? We all do. Can we pant after His commandments? Can we truly say, Lord, I desire everything of you, even the things that are hard to do? You know, we think that the laws are grievous. Think they're too difficult. That's just the devil in the world telling you that. The Bible tells you it's not. Lord, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll desire the things that I have, the things that I am, the laws that I've made. Do you love me? Are you ready to cast out those things that are holding you back from a true service to Him? Are you willing to give up those precious little things that you put in your life that you enjoy so much for Him? Because you're not ready to give up those things that you truly desire, you're not ready to serve Him. He wants you all. Paul's life was a life of sacrifice. He gave up everything he had, but he said, I did it because everything that I had was useless. But everything that Christ has put in me is glory. He's waiting on us. He desires us. He sent His Son for us. He created us. And yet we run and hide from Him. We hide from His laws, from His statutes, His commandments. it's time we quit saying we want revival and start saying we want revival. You want to see souls saved? Pant after the things of God. Have a dying desire for them. You want people to come to church? Pant after them. Pray for them. Truly desire. Don't just say it with your mouth. Give lip service. Bend a knee. Shed a tear. You know, the things of God in the Bible that people truly wanted, they set a fast. They gave up things in their life. Why? Because they wanted to prove to God, Lord, I desire this. You ever done that? Are you ever willing to give up food, water? Because you truly desire to see somebody saved? Are you truly desire to see your church grow? Are you truly desire revival? Are you willing to pant after it with all your heart? It's time we do some spring cleaning in our lives. Don't just rearrange the boxes. Throw them out. And allow God to fill your life with the blessings He has in store for you. The psalmist says, I opened my mouth and panted, for I long for your commandments. Let's stand. Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the blessing of your word. Lord, we thank you for the time that you allowed us to be here. Lord, I pray that you would search my heart, my life. If there's anything, Lord, that's hindering any of us, Lord, from allowing you to truly take over, show us what it is. Help us, Lord, to clean out the filth that the world has put in there. Lord, that we may truly allow you in. Lord, may we give you 100% of us, for you gave us all of you. Lord, to be a lost one here tonight, Lord, I pray for that one's salvation. Lord, I pray that you will search deeply the bowels, the pits of our souls, and show us what we need to be shown. Help us, Lord, send forth a revival in each one of us. Lord, make us truly what you desire us to be. In Christ's name we pray. Come, the altar's open. How about you? Can you say that you truly pant after the things of God, that your desire is for Him and Him alone? Is there room in your life? Or is it filled up with everything that the world has to offer? No, Christ just doesn't want just a corner to hide in. He wants all of you. Do you desire what He desires? And are you willing to give up all your worldly treasures for the treasures of heaven? Are you saved tonight? Has there ever been a time in your life that you repented of your sins and asked Jesus Christ into your heart and your Savior? Today is the day of salvation. You have no promise of tomorrow. Prayer requests.